Good morning. It is Tuesday, October the 15th, in the year of our Lord 2024. I'm John David Walt, and this is your wake-up call. Let's begin this Taco Tuesday with our prayer of consecration. Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. And we're praying in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's entry is entitled, I Will Rain Down Bread from Heaven, the Wonder of the Wilderness. Our text is Exodus chapter 16, verses 4 and 5. Hear now the word of the Lord. Then the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day, they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gather on the other days. The word of the Lord. Now consider this. We didn't point it out, but yesterday we saw the Israelites pining for the good old days back in the land of slavery and those all-you-can-eat buffets. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. That's Exodus 16, verse 3. It seems like an appropriate moment to remember one of our favorite wilderness prayers. Lord, you took me out of Egypt. Now take Egypt out of me. Here's perhaps one of the biggest learnings in life. We long for God. We will settle for food. I'll take it a step further. When we try to fill up our longing for God with food, we overeat. Further, when we try to fill up our longing for God with drink, we overdrink. Let's reverse the phrase. When we overeat or overdrink, we are trying to satisfy our longing for God. This is not often a conscious experience for us. It is, however, the unconscious reality at work underneath the table. Consider the oft-used phrases of comfort food or soul food. Am I saying that eating and drinking are bad? No. I'm saying that overeating and overdrinking are not good. We should pay attention to them in our lives as they are pointing to a much deeper and larger dynamic at play. Further, overeating and overdrinking destroy the health of the body, also known as the temple of God, and in time desecrate the body's internal infrastructure, the inmost being. The core longing of the human being, created by God in God's own image, is for God alone. We were made to worship God, which is the totalizing orientation of our whole lives around the goodness and glory of God. This is where life comes from. When we orient our lives around other things, like food and drink, and money, and a thousand other things, we think they will deliver life. They do give us a brief boost or escape or high. And in the process, they slowly steal our life, only to demand more value from us for the next round. This is what worship is and how worship works. Worship is not singing songs on a Sunday. No, worship is the everyday reality in relationship with the provider to whom we attribute value and worth, and the reception of provision, protection, and peace from this provider. Let me say that again. No, worship is the everyday reality in relationship with the provider to whom we attribute value and worth, and the reception of provision, protection, and peace from this provider. The issue is not, are we worshiping? This is a given. The issue is, what God are we worshiping? Is it the one true and living God, or is it a false God? In which case, our worship is idolatry. Idolatry is the process of giving worth to a false God in exchange for some manner of provision. It invariably leads to some cycle of dependence and often addiction, which promises life while delivering death. This is why we need deliverance. Egypt is that complex calculus of how we survived slavery and made our lives work without the intimate involvement and constant intervention of Almighty God. The wilderness is the place where God takes Egypt out of us. It brings me back to the big learning. We long for God. We will settle for food. Now, with that setup, consider today's text. Then the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. I am who I am, also known as God, established himself as their protector in delivering them from Pharaoh. The problem is they had given themselves to Pharaoh, willingly or not, as slaves. In exchange, he gave them all-you-can-eat buffets. Now, I am would begin the long deliverance process of taking Pharaoh out of them. I am's next move would be to become their provider. He would supply them with food, not all-you-can-eat pots of meat, but daily bread from heaven. This is the wonder of the wilderness, bread from heaven, wonder bread. Now, with that set up, consider this. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. That's John 6:51. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. That's John 6:35. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. That's Luke 22:19. Let's enter our prayer for deliverance. Lord Jesus, you are my deliverer. I'm not sure where even to begin today, so let me begin with gratitude. Thank you for being my provider, my protector, and my peace. I confess my broken appetites, my unstable insecurity, and my anxious disposition. I confess to giving value and worth to so many other things to meet these core longings in my soul, which can only be oriented and integrated in you. I have believed lies and trusted liars. I was desperate. And as much as my money and my supplies may try to convince otherwise, I am still desperate. I'm ready to detach from the false gods of food and drink. I'm ready to know you as God, my provider. I'm ready to orient my whole life around giving worth to you and receiving worth from you. Thank you for being my teacher in the wilderness. Thank you, Jesus, for teaching me to hunger and thirst for righteousness. I'm done with false religion. Jesus, you are life. Let's go. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen. How about our journal prompts today? These may seem to come out of left field to you, but there's a connection. What has been your experience with fasting? Struggle? Success? Some of both? Why do you think fasting is so hard for us? For you? And for our hymn today, we're going to sing a song to Jesus. My Jesus, I love thee. It's number 117 in our Seedbed Hymnal, Our Great Redeemer's Praise. We'll sing all four verses. Before I go there, though, just want to check in with you here. This is some hard stuff that we're getting into already in the wilderness of Exodus. You know, we've been taken out of Egypt, but now all that time in Egypt means Egypt has gotten into us, seeped into our souls. And deliverance is the process of the Lord taking Egypt out of us. He delivered them. He brought them out of Egypt in a night. It's going to take 40 years to get Egypt out of these Israelites. Now, we have a bit of an advantage over them as we live now in the age of the Holy Spirit. Thanks be to Jesus and the cross and his death and resurrection. His life is now poured into us by the Holy Spirit. And so, would that it not take 40 years to get Egypt out of us? It's going to take time on task. It's going to take our attention. It's really going to take our, really quite simply, I say that like it's going to be arduous. It's really, how hard will it be to surrender our life to Jesus, right? Again, it's not hard for Jesus to save us from sin. And it's not hard for him to deliver us. He's delivered us. He saved us from the penalty of sin. It's not hard for him to deliver us from the power of sin, but it kind of will come back to our willingness to simply abandon ourselves to him, to give up sovereignty over our own lives and accede sovereignty to him. You know, that's that consecration prayer every day. Like our whole body, we're giving it up. That was what we talked about last week. I'm transferring title of my body over to Jesus. And now exercise is ceasing to be like a dreadful thing that I have to do or the management of my vanity or whatever, exercise is becoming the worship of my body to Jesus. Not me worshiping my body, but that's an idol. And of course, that's in many cases what it is for people. No, it's actually my body worshiping God. That's what exercise is now. And so many other ways we could talk about it, but this whole thing now we're talking about food and drink and God as provider and moving from pots of meat and all-you-can-eat buffets to daily bread in the wilderness. Give us this day our daily bread. And meeting and really beginning to know God as protector, as provider, and as peace. And it's fascinating. Like, pray the Lord's Prayer and you see it all. Right? Give us this day our daily bread. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. That's protection. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. That's peace. There's so much integration, and all of this comes together in perfect coherence in Jesus Christ. Well, that's why we're going to close out singing, "My Jesus, I Love Thee." We want to get our fixed gaze on Him. My Jesus, I love Thee. I know Thou art mine. For Thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art Thou. If ever I love Thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I love Thee because Thou hast first loved me and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. I love Thee for wearing the thorns on Thy brow. If ever I love Thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I love Thee in life, I will love Thee in death, and praise Thee as long as Thou lendest me breath, and say when the death dew lies cold on my brow, if ever I love Thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. In mansions of glory and endless delight, I'll ever adore Thee in heaven so bright. I'll sing with a glittering crown on my brow. If ever I love Thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. Amen. Well, I really appreciate your prayers for us. We made it. David, my son, and I made it back from Kentucky to Arkansas. Feels like the circle is complete now. 30 years ago, I first went to Wilmore, Kentucky, and I've had many years there and involvement with all of that Asbury Seminary, and now I moved. My son's gone to college there and has graduated, and now he is in Arkansas, where he's never lived, but where his deep roots are. And we're here. We're beginning a new thing here. I'll be telling you more about that as time unfolds here on the wake-up call. But appreciate your prayers as he makes that transition here and we get going in this new thing we sense the Lord is doing in our midst here in Gillette. So, get your seeds. It's Tuesday, and I'll be looking for you on the field. for The Awakening. I'm J.D. Walt.
We hope that today's entry challenged and encouraged you. And thanks for listening to The Wake Up Call, powered by Seedbed. Be sure to share this with a friend, leave us a rating, and subscribe wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts. Find out more and join the movement by visiting our website at seedbed.com/wakeupcall.